Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that nationwide Odyssey app. It is Tuesday, April 22nd, about 410, 71 degrees, and it's always good to bring in my next guest, Matt Schlapp, who's the chairman of CPAC, former White House advisor. Matt, how are you doing, my friend?
Rob, great to be with you.
So we had the passing of Pope Francis, so we just got the news that his funeral will be this Saturday. But one of the things that I brought up on the air, and I'm glad you're available to come on today, is with the dire medical condition that the Pope was in over the past couple of weeks and months, the fact that he came out of that and was back with the people and amongst the people and then passed amongst his parishioners is probably just the way he would want it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I've been critical of the Pope in a lot of ways, but hopefully not personally critical. I think he was a very good man. I think it's a very difficult job. You know, not too long ago, getting these titles and these jobs was quite a wonderful thing, and you had a nice life. And now I think these positions of responsibility in religious organizations, especially the Catholic Church, are just really tough jobs. I mean, there's a reason why Pope Benedict, you know, resigned, which hadn't ever, I don't think ever happened before, because he just was burdened down by a really, really rough job, which has been made worse by the institution of all the social media and the fact that, you know, they have to be responsive at all times to everything. And I think John Paul II was burdened by this in the modern context. I think Benedict was, and I think for sure Pope Francis was. I think, you know, I think once again, I think he was a very good, personally holy man. I just think his desire to be loved by everybody and accepted by everyone created a lot of confusion, and that the next Pope now has to clarify a few things.
Yeah, and I'm looking at one of your tweets from the other day where you actually retweeted J.D. Vance on this. You talked about the status of the church, of young people becoming priests and nuns and coming into the church. Do you see the next pontiff as being younger?
So I don't know about the next pontiff. Matter of fact, you know, I think people are very concerned that Francis really stacked, I don't mean that in a pejorative, but he really did stack those who are cardinals with progressives, left wingers like this cardinal that we have in Washington, D.C. And so I've got to imagine that the next pope will be someone that's agitating to make the changes that Francis only seemed to talk about making. In the end, Francis didn't make any changes to the doctrines or dogmas of the church, and I think there are still kind of like this hardcore older set of prelates that would like to see that. But back to my tweet, the point is, all the enthusiasm in Christian circles, in the Catholic Church, in the conservative movement, by the way, is from young people. Young people and people in their 30s and 40s and 50s have experienced this, you know, what's happened in society, this shift from a traditional idea of families being important and traditional values meaning something. And then we went into woke insanity for about 25 years. And it did start that long ago. And so now you have the old guys in the Catholic Church that are trying to still, they're kind of the hippie generation. They're still trying to make these changes, which the young people don't want. When I go to daily mass or when I go to the churches around us, even in the progressive Alexandria, Virginia area, those churches are filled with young couples, young people. You have the more conservative sisters are growing. The nuns that, you know, the nuns on the bus that were for all the Obama policies don't have any new young sisters because young people don't want anything to do with communism, Marxism, the progressivism that they see as such a failure.
And I was reading the breakdown of, I believe there's 135 cardinals that are eligible to vote. They're under 80 and fit the perimeter. Very few out of the 135 are from the U.S. or from North America. when you look at the holistic picture of the Roman Catholic Church. But they broke down, you know, the conservative cardinals, the moderate conservative cardinals, the progressive, and it looked like the conservative and moderate conservative had a pretty good number there.
Like I said, I gotta believe that the progressives have a majority, but you know, it's also difficult for non-Catholics to think about this, how Catholics were raised, to believe that the Holy Spirit is in the room when they make this decision about who the next pope is. Now, the Holy Spirit has been in that room when they've made terrible decisions on who the next pope would be. So I'm not going to give a hagiography on the history of the Catholic Church. But to me, the reason I know the Holy Spirit is at the reins of the Catholic Church is because of the terrible popes we've picked. That no matter who gets picked, no matter how terrible they are, the church has survived it because the church is not an institution of men. It's a God-created institution that men are tasked with overseeing. And so no matter who gets picked to be the pope, I have great hope in the demographic trends that are happening in the Catholic Church, that the diocese with more conservative bishops are the ones seeing growth in their vocations to both the priesthood and sisterhood. And they're the ones seeing the young couples coming together and having large families. And politically, that's good for me, too, because I see that if you're a young Catholic, believing Catholic, the likelihood that you are conservative in your politics is strongly correlated. Matter of fact, the more times you go to church a week, the more you're likely to be a conservative, which is why groups like CPAC are essentially becoming faith-based groups, because the people who populate our audience are people of faith.
And not just Roman Catholic. You go above and beyond in having a Seder breakfast and having, you know, your Jewish faith
Jews
there.
Yes. Yeah, and evangelicals and Baptists and conservative folks from mainline Protestant churches. You know, I think when the left went too far on family, on gender, on the Constitution, on whether America is good, on cops, on no need for the military, on the pullout of Afghanistan and giving Iran a nuclear weapon, all these crazy, radical, scary ideas, I think, you know, I think it makes even people that weren't that religious ask basic questions like, you know, is this good versus evil? Because it just seems like the left has grabbed it wants to market all these very, very evil, destructive ideas.
And we've seen here, especially because Pope Francis did insert himself into the illegal immigration, not just here, but across the world. And people, non-Christian friends of mine, people who call my show or text into my show said, you know, here's someone who lives behind a 40-foot wall that doesn't let people in, lecturing the rest of the world. And you have Catholic charities making hundreds of millions of dollars off the immigration crisis. A lot of people see that as hypocritical. And as a Roman Catholic, I myself, you know, call that out on many occasions. And I know you have as well.
Look, I don't donate to Catholic charities any longer. I know it went through a period of time when it was supposedly correcting itself, but I think the Catholic Church's embrace of an open border is a real destruction. And I've seen many bishops who I admire actually, you know, very publicly say that you really can't have a country with an open border. So, but you know, there's no question that the Pope, Catholic Charities, and a lot of these progressive bishops have made it seem like if you're not for illegal immigration, then you're a bad Christian. And that's bad theology. It's terrible politics. And it's created this great moral problem where it's almost like my own church is encouraging people to break the law and enter America illegally. And it's unsustainable for our country. By the way, we can't afford it. That alone is a massive problem. And by the way, it's a great burden on the church, too. I know they're getting great resources through Catholic Charities. But then, you know, St. Rita Church down the street here from my house is the victim of crimes on a near weekly basis. I see cops over there. You know, they've had the poor box broken into, you know, a lot of vandalism. And that's a recent phenomenon since Joe Biden's immigration policy. So the church needs to really listen to those folks working in these parishes, especially these parishes that have been impacted by the rise of MS-13 living in the neighborhoods around them and all of this crime. And, you know, I think what's going on in America is a great kind of reassertion of common sense. I'd like to see that within our church community, too. Look, you can be open-minded towards the gay community and still believe in traditional marriage. And, you know, being for traditional marriage doesn't mean you're a hateful person. It just means that you think marriage is a special God-ordained institution between a man and a woman. It doesn't mean that two men or two women can't live in their own version of what they view of commitment is. And, you know, the same thing is true on gender. Like, if an adult wants to get a sex change operation, as we used to call it in the old days, or wants to transition, I actually think in America they all have the right to do that. And if there's a doctor who wants to participate in that, they probably have the right to do it too. But still, you can't turn that into teaching young kids in our public schools that there's something good about that, or that's something that they should embrace. This is the insanity of what happened when woke pushed every normal, common sense, traditional kind of thinking person and shut them down. Because if they spoke their mind, they were called a hater. They would lose their job. They would lose their federal contract. We got to be able to go back to being in a country where adults can make their own responsible decisions. And part of that is other adults can criticize them without any professional downside. And we lost that, and it all started when Barack Obama became the president and everything became overly racialized. And hopefully we can get back to some kind of normalcy. You know, Europe is actually more normal than us on this stuff.
Yeah. Spoke to Liz Truss when I was at CPAC, interviewed her, spoke to her many times, the other places that you have CPAC at. And that's where I'm going to bring it to before I leave it off. We've seen the past election, 2024 election here, where the progressives went so far to the left and the change that the mandate from the American people here. We're seeing that in Europe now, that the unfettered immigration and the attacking the nuclear family and attacking having children and attacking. Does that transmit to Rome during this conclave?
Yeah. You know, it is kind of interesting that what is impacting the conversation around the world the most are these basic questions about marriage, family, life, sexuality. And, you know, the church has been struggling with how to talk about these questions, especially ever since the sex abuse scandal became such a terrible albatross around the church's neck. And what I've seen is that bishops that would normally speak up on related issues don't, because they feel like they don't have standing anymore to speak. And when your church leaders don't speak about these issues, they then look to, you know, vocal lay members to speak on these issues. And so when vocal lay members speak on these issues, you know, it's lonely because you're not hearing from your church leaders that you would hope that would have been leading. When I was a child, you know, Cardinal O'Connor in New York City was the one leading the conversation about respecting the unborn child and about marriage and family. And then secular leaders would follow. But, you know, most of those church leaders are now very, very quiet. And so these cardinals have to ask themselves, does the church matter? If the church is mostly silent on these questions, does it matter? I know it's open for business on Sundays, but doesn't it need to be open for business every second of every day to everyone on every moral question? And I think there's a real concern with American practicing Catholics that that the church has gone quiet. And that we all have our favorite bishops that don't act in that manner. But we want to hear from the Pope. We want to hear from the Vatican. We want them to be standing up for these time-honored values. And I will tell you, I don't have great confidence that the next pope will do that, but I also believe that God has a plan, and I'm going to humble myself to it.
And I know you have faith, as I do, so hopefully that brings us through whatever transition is to take place. Again, we're speaking to Matt Schlapp, chairman of CPAC, former White House advisor. He is a husband, a dad of five beautiful daughters, Notre Dame alumni, go Irish, except for when they play Navy, my friend, except when they play Navy, but got to throw that in there. So thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show, my friend.
All right, Rob. God bless, my friend.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice here in Pennsylvania. On this day, one police officer made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, Sergeant Daniel B. Clinton, Philadelphia Police Department in 1909, suffered a fatal heart attack while he and another officer struggled with three individuals who were acting disorderly at the Delaware Avenue, modern-day Christopher Columbus Boulevard, and Market Street. Sergeant Clinton had witnessed the disorderly group exit a hotel and begin to act disorderly in front of it. At the same time, the proprietor in the hotel made a complaint against them to the police. Sergeant Clinton asked them to move along. He was attacked by them and knocked to the ground. He was able to blow his whistle, summoning assistance of three other officers who were in the area. All four officers attempted to arrest the individuals, were nearly overpowered by them because of their strength. Sergeant Clinton had managed to assist the officers in arresting three of them. While the officers were placing the three into a patrol wagon, he was attacked from behind by another individual who fled on foot in the area. Sergeant Clinton, in pursuit, collapsed and died of a fatal heart attack while pursuing the fourth individual. And that's our one from Pennsylvania. Again, that was 1909. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let me go to the phone now. We have Dwayne. Dwayne, how are you doing, my friend?
Hi, Rob. How are you? It's about time I was able to speak to you.
yeah.
Bikers for Trump, Pennsylvania. I went to a meeting today, a protest, actually, for ICE in 44th. The protest was put on by Northeast Pennsylvania Democratic Socialists of America, which didn't make sense to me, being a democratic socialist. I don't understand that. People there were so misinformed about how ICE works and how we do need them back in our area. I'm in corrections for 25 years. I just retired from the Luzerne County Correctional Facility, and ICE was in our place once, twice, three times a week to pick up illegals. Now the magistrates let them out regardless of their charges, unless, of course, it's a murder. If they're on a drug charge, a gun charge, or an assault charge, they're automatically released to nowhere. And I tried to explain that today to the crowd, and some people found that funny. And I did ask the one gentleman who was laughing, I said, what is so funny about that? I said, we're all neighbors. I said, but if you think that these people should be here who are committing a crime and are illegal aliens, how many would you want living in your home? And then he didn't know what to say. But I couldn't believe that the people that were there speaking against ICE to have an office in 44th, Pennsylvania, when Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, Kingston, and 44th have gone, the crime has gone through the roof with the illegals that are here. I couldn't believe what some people were saying.
Well, the name of the group says it all, the Democrat Socialists of Pennsylvania, right? We had a judge in New York. There was just an agreement with the mayor of New York to let ICE back into Rikers Island, one of the nation's largest prisons right now, and a judge stopped it. So, yeah, we are seeing more of this. It's individual. These are people who are arrested for other crimes, for committing assaults,
right,
for committing rapes, robberies, theft. These are people who are in our jails for committing other crimes against, a lot of time, those very people, those neighbors you were just talking about.
Right. I just, like I said, I couldn't. The people that were there were between the age of, there were some younger folks there, 30, 40 years old. But most were 60 to 70 years old, complaining that they don't want ICE in their neighborhood. But where it's going to be is right next to the 44th Airport, where the state police training barracks used to be. They're renting a space in the office, and they started saying that if someone gets arrested by ICE, they're going to be detained and held here. And my answer to them was no, they will go to the county prison and get picked up by ICE and shipped to where they need to go. So it's just, I was very actually upset today that people think that ICE is here to cause trouble. They said that they don't want them here because they're only going to make the situation worse. My answer was, what could be worse than having a child murdered, raped, or your house invaded by an illegal alien who's a criminal? And I said their first crime they committed was coming across the border, not through the proper process. I said, there's a way to come here legally, and let's get that done and round them up, and if they want to come, let them come legally. Why should they jump the line? Of course, I had a few laughs from the people that were there, but I did get a few people in the end that came up and shook my hand and thanked me for speaking up for ICE,
which yeah,
something it, I felt like I had to do.
It was good that it was a cordial exchange. Even the ones that didn't disagree with you, usually these things have been getting out of hand lately. So it's good to hear that there was a cordial back and forth of ideas and disagreements. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was actually. I was surprised. There were two gentlemen there that tried to mouth, but everybody ignored them. It was like I said, I think I opened some people's eyes to actually what ICE does, rather than going, like some woman brought up a point to where she saw a child taken away in a black SUV by men dressed in black out of a school right here in 44 Pennsylvania, which didn't happen. And my answer to her was, well, maybe they saved that child's life because that child's not here with their family. They're here with someone who got them across the border and got paid for it.
Yeah,
so that's why they're picking up these children. They're here without family.
The amount of disinformation out there is what's really driving a lot of this, and that's why they keep up with this disinformation. That's why there's commercials almost every break from John, the Republican, who's telling you they're cutting your Medicare, because the more times they say it, the more somebody's going to believe it. And they know that, and that's why they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep running it and keep drilling it in, because they're going to go to someone and say, you know, they're trying to take our Medicaid. No, they're not. Stop it.
No, not at all. I don't get it. I mean, and I don't argue with people. I just try to open people's eyes and say, listen, this is what's being done. This is what we're missing. This is what you're not being told. I said, I was in the county prison for 25 years, a retired lieutenant. I saw it go from our basic inmates here who did their crimes, had to go to state, had to go to federal, to where we got the inmates now that are 14, 15 years old who can't be handled in a juvenile system because of their crimes are so bad. I said, number one, they don't speak English, which I don't have a problem with that, but they're illegal. They're here illegally. And you don't understand. The gangs are here. MS-13 is here. All the gangs are here in the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area, 100%. Luzerne County and Lackawanna County.
They indeed are.
They don't realize it.
They indeed are, Dwayne. Yes. Dwayne, I appreciate you calling in, checking in, and giving this information.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. It's 4:43 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025, what do we have today? Let me see. 1970 was the first Earth Day. I know we celebrated that today. April 22nd, 1970, United States celebrated the first Earth Day, nationwide environmental teach-in organized by Senator Gaylord Nelson. Approximately 20 million Americans participated in rallies, cleanups, educational events, marking the birth of the modern environmental movement. This initiative led to the creation of the EPA and the passage of the landmark environmental laws like the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act. 1889, going back in time a little bit, we have the Oklahoma Land Rush. At noon on April 22nd, 1889, the Oklahoma land rush began as thousands of settlers raced to claim nearly 1.9 million acres of land previously designated as Indian territory. By the end of the day, the cities of Oklahoma City and Guthrie were established, each with populations around 10,000. 1957, the integration of the Philadelphia Phillies. On this day, John Irvin Kennedy became the first African-American player for the Philadelphia Phillies, making the team the last in the National League to integrate. His debut occurred during the eighth inning appearance in the game against the Brooklyn Dodgers. 1994, death of President Richard Nixon. Former President Richard Nixon passed away at the age of 81 on April 22nd, 1994. He resigned from the office in 1974 amid the Watergate scandal, was buried at his presidential library in Yorba Linda, California, following a state funeral. In 2000, Elian Gonzalez seized by U.S. agents in a pre-dawn raid. Remember that picture? On April 22nd, 2000, federal agents seized 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez from his relative's home in Miami to reunite him with his father in Cuba. The event sparked international attention and debate over immigration and parental rights. These events highlight the diverse and impactful moments of the U.S. history that occurred on this day, April 22nd. You know, we were talking about the last caller and how if they keep saying things enough, you know, people eventually start to believe them. Well, this happened just yesterday. NBC News led with this headline. Now, this is NBC News. I posted this on social media, so you've seen this already if you follow me. New images could change cancer diagnostics, but ICE detained the Harvard scientist who analyzes them. Now, you read that headline. New images could change cancer diagnostics, but ICE detained the Harvard scientist who analyzed them. And you go, oh, my God. You know, why would you do that? And then it goes on in the story, the first paragraph. A groundbreaking microscope at Harvard Medical School could lead to breakthroughs in cancer detection and research into longevity. But the scientist who developed computer scripts to read its images and unlock its full potential has been in an immigration detention center for 2 months, putting crucial scientific advancements at risk. Now, who in their right mind would read that and go, oh, my God, that's what's going on here? They found a new diagnostic for cancer, and ICE detained the only Harvard scientist who knows how to read it? And then you listen to the story in this groundbreaking microscope, and it's putting crucial scientific advancement at risk by detaining this individual. Now, anyone in their right mind is going to read that and go, oh, that's bad. Well, the Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security, Trisha McLaughlin, came out today and reposted that story with a little more facts. And here's the real story. This individual lied to federal officers about carrying substances into the country. A canine inspection uncovered undeclared petri dishes, containers of unknown substances, and loose vials of embryonic frog cells, all without proper permits. Messages found on her phone revealed she planned to smuggle the material through customs without declaring them. She knowingly broke the law and took deliberate steps to evade it. She was lawfully detained. We should know who and what is in our country. So when you start seeing the bigger picture, doesn't seem so onerous, is it? Doesn't seem so bad, right? Then there's the story going around of that American citizen who was detained down near the border. And while he was in custody for 2 weeks and had a hearing, his family shows up with his birth certificate and Social Security card and said he's an American citizen. Here's his birth certificate. Here's a Social Security card. And there's stories everywhere that goes, you know, how can you, this is what happens when ICE gets out of control. They detain American citizens. They mistaken American citizens or don't care. And they detain him for 2 weeks till the family comes and pleads with the court. Thankfully, they had his birth certificate and his Social Security card. Well, it turns out that Homeland Security released his information where he said that he was a Mexican citizen, that he was in the U.S. to work illegally and planned to stay for 20 years. Sign that statement that was given to him in Spanish. So is it a setup? Was this done for this purpose? Is there something wrong with this individual? But he specifically told Border Patrol that he was in illegally, just crossed the border, was planning on working, was not a citizen, was a citizen of Mexico, and they detained him. And when his family found out, they came down and said, no, he's a citizen. So was this a setup from the start? Was this a plan to get this headline? Because not many people are correcting the headline. I put that out today as well to where, let me see if I could find that real quick for you because it's unbelievable. Oh, I'm in the wrong social media. I'll be here in a minute. I'm here all day. Don't worry. I'll have to find it. But there's a copy of his questionnaire that he signed where he said he was a citizen of Mexico and here illegally. And he was here to find work. And he wanted to work for 20 years. So it appears like they lied to, he purposely did not have any identification on him, lied to immigration officials to get this headline. Now, we'll never know the true intent of it, but it looks kind of suspect, doesn't it? That he lies and signs a sworn statement that he's here illegally, and then his family shows up with his birth certificate and his Social Security card, saying you've illegally detained an American citizen for 2 weeks. Well, that's because he signed an affidavit saying he was here illegally, and he wasn't a citizen. So it's interesting how these stories keep morphing into when you get more and more information. So we'll keep up on it. We'll keep posting it to you. It's 4:56 here at WILK. We'll be back. All right, so I was able to find that document, and here are the questions that he was answered and signed to. Do you understand what I have said to you? Yes. Do you have any questions? No. Are you willing to answer questions at this time? Yes. Do you swear and affirm that all the statements you are about to make are true? Yes. What is your complete and correct name? Jose Brennan Hermeslo. Have you ever used any other names? No. What is your date of birth? March 2006. Where were you born? Mexico. What country are you a citizen? Mexico. Of what country are your parents citizens? Mexico. Where do your parents reside? Mexico. Have your parents ever resided in the United States? No. Were either your parents ever U.S. citizens? No. Do you have any claim to being a citizen of the United States? No. Where are you going in the United States? Tucson. And he signed it. Interesting how it changes, huh? I just reposted that on X account from my good friend Julio Rosas, who's down there at the border doing great work, showing what's going on. So it's interesting how it changes when you look into the facts a little bit. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back after this news break.